Welcome, everyone, to another episode of The Future of BizTech. I'm your host, JC Granger. I have another fantastic guest with us on the show today. And listen, if you end up loving this episode, please show your love and appreciation by following this podcast wherever you're listening. And, you know, give it a five-star review, preferably some cool comments on it, because that is how techies like you and I find cool podcasts like this. Listen, today I have the absolute pleasure of interviewing Peter Voss, who is the CEO and chief scientist at IGO. Peter, thank you so much for being on the show. Why don't you tell everyone a little bit about yourself and what does IGO do?
Yes, great. Thank you. So we do conversational AI or chatbots. And in particular, what we do is a chatbot with a brain. Now, as many of you may have noticed, many of the chatbots out there are not very smart. So ours has an actual brain. It remembers what you said earlier. It can think about, you know, it can reason about what you're saying, uses context. So it's much, much more useful because it has a brain.
So who's kind of your perfect client for this? I mean, these chatbots are used by so many different types of websites. Is this something that you see more on the e-commerce side? Do you see, you know, are you doing more enterprise level tech companies? Like who are you guys really going after with this?
Yeah, so a perfect example is one of our clients is 1-800-Flowers. In fact, the whole group of companies, which is Harry and David and Popcorn Factory and so on. And they're using it to provide a hyper-personalized service to their customers where it remembers who you buy gifts for, on what occasions, what kind of gifts, and you know it can really help you along with that. So that would be a perfect example, but our technology really is industry agnostic. It can be any industry. So, you know, it could be banking, it could be medical. In fact, it could be something like a diabetes coach, you know, somebody who would help a person with diabetes to, you know, to optimize their eating and exercise and whatever, you know, insulin. So it can also be used as what we call a co-pilot to complex software. So, you know, a lot of software is that complex that people don't know all of the features of the software, or you need to go to do many menus or so to get to where you want to. So you can have IGO as a co-pilot where you can just tell it what you want and it will then, you know, get you the answers. So the technology, this conversational AI technology, can really be applied to anything. But our current focus is very much on, you know, customer service. So what typically you have humans doing, and often in a very frustrating way that you have to wait a long time and, you know, all the limitations of that. So that's what we focus on.
So how does it learn? I mean, obviously it doesn't come out of the box ready to just understand everything about a company. So someone installs this chatbot. What is the process where it starts getting smarter and smarter and understands how to answer? Does it start with a human first? And does it track what they're saying and then figure it out from there? Is there an error percentage where you got to watch it a little bit? You know, just kind of how does it get to be as smart as it is?
Yeah, it's a very good question. And of course, many people now know about ChatGPT and, you know, products like that, these large language models, which are trained on masses and masses amounts of data, really everything on the internet, on Twitter, and so on. Now, the problem when they get trained on stuff like that, they also get trained on a lot of not so high quality data, let's put it that, like that. So you really have no control, very little control over how they will behave. So our approach is the opposite. We basically make sure that all the knowledge that our chatbot has been curated and, you know, can pass legal review of your, you know, marketing department, your customer experience people and so on. So we basically consult with the customer and say, what are your business rules? What are the products that you are selling? What are training materials that you have for your call center operators?
FAQs, and things like that.
Exactly. Yeah. And we feed that into the system, but it's all curated. So, you know, it's not, you know, unfortunately, it's not people think you can just press a button and say, hey, all the information we have on our website, just suck it up. And, you know,
yeah.
No, it doesn't work that way because there are business rules, there are APIs, you know, if you want to change your order or you want to get a refund or something, there are lots and lots of business rules and, you know, how it interacts with your backend services. So there is that integration required, but we start off with a brain that already knows how to hold a conversation, that knows about people and relationships and so on. So there's that core common sense information, knowledge that it has that, you know, we put together over many years. And then you add a layer to that, which is customer specific. And in fact, there's a third layer that is specific to each individual person. So it's hyper-personalized to the individual. So, you know, once you call in, for example, let's say you have a problem with your router at home, you call in and, you know, first thing it might say, well, try rebooting it, you know. Okay, now you call back 10 minutes later and our system will remember and say, okay, did that work? And I want to ask you again, you know, have you tried rebooting your system and so on? So, it's like talking, it's like you're talking to the same person who actually remembers the conversation, you know?
Sure. Okay. That's interesting. Now, I want to step back for a second. I want to learn have the audience learn a little bit about yourself. Give us your background. How long have you been in the tech industry? I believe you coined a term. Is it artificial general intelligence?
Correct.
I'd like to hear about that, because I mean, if you're an OG of tech, then I want to know and hear the background.
Yeah. So I mean, I've been in technology one form or another forever. I started off as an electronics engineer, working on industrial electronic system. Then I started my own electronics company, fell in love with software, and my company turned into a software company. I then developed a ERP software system, basically a software system for small business, you know, to do their payroll and accounting and billing and so on. And that company was very successful. We went from the garage to 400 people and did an IPO. So that was super exciting. It's when I exited that company that I said, well, how can, you know, I was very proud of my software, but still the software is kind of dumb. You know, if the programmer didn't think of something, it would just give you an error message, or, you know, it didn't really have intelligence. So how can we have intelligent software? And that's really what's consumed me for the last 25 years, is working on that. I took 5 years off just to study all different aspects of intelligence before starting my company. So in 2002, I actually got together with some other people, and three of us coined the term artificial general intelligence, or AGI, which is now actually quite commonly used. You see quite a bit of that, which really refers to human level, human like intelligence in a computer that can think and learn and reason the way humans can.
So what motivated you to, are you a founder of IGO, or yes, did they bring you in as CEO? Okay. What motivated you to start the company? Like, what problem did you see? Like, what, you could kind of write your own ticket with your background, right? So what was it specifically about chatbots and AI that drew you to that versus almost anything else you could do with AI?
Right. Well, I mean, artificial general intelligence is the holy grail, really. It's once we can have computers that can really think and reason and learn at the level of humans. Imagine you train one of these AIs to be a cancer researcher. Now you can make 1 million copies of that. You now have 1 million cancer researchers chipping away 24/7, communicating with each other, no egos getting in the way, you know, focused on that problem. So how that can improve the human condition, basically, to me, it's a fascinatingly difficult problem to solve. So, it's really challenging, but it also has such enormous payoff, I think, for humanity that I couldn't think of wanting to work on anything else. Now, doing it, chatbots and customer service right now is really a stepping stone towards it. You know, it's to commercialize an early version of it. We're still a long way from human level intelligence, but we have a lot more intelligence than a conventional chatbot. And we are, you know, working towards, in fact, I can talk about a project which we are about to start to accelerate this development.
Well, let's start there. I do want to hear it.
Okay. So, I started my first AI company 20 years ago, and we've been alternating between R&D, basically improving the intelligence of the system, initially building the first prototypes and so on, and then getting better and better. And then we really needed to commercialize this because our investors, you know, I had to bring other people in. I didn't have that much money that I could just fund it all myself. So we brought investors in, and they wanted a commercial product. So we focused on call center automation. But that then came at the expense of R&D. So I ended up selling that company because, you know, all of my time was spent in, you know, upgrading our calls, our data center, and, you know, just working on commercial stuff and not really on intelligence. So I sold that company and then went back to founding a new company, which is now turned into IGO, where we spent another 4 years just on development to make basically to develop the second generation of this core technology. And then we've now in a commercial phase again, basically to commercialize it for both to get revenue, to increase our, you know, the effort we can put into R&D, but also for the practical experience as a reality check, you know, to have real problems in the real world that is not just an academic exercise. But with the excitement about ChatGPT and some of the benefits we can get from these systems, we have actually, we're just in the process of launching a major initiative to focus again, to build a big, much bigger team to focus on increasing the intelligence and to get to human level intelligence much sooner. So that's what I'm very excited about. And I've been working on that for the last few months. We are, you know, currently raising some more money for that initiative and also building, expanding our team basically to have a much more focused effort on intelligence itself.
So I'm a marketing guy by trade. So I'm always curious, what are you guys doing to get the word out about IGO? I mean, you're on the podcast, so that's one. Are you guys running ads? Are you doing TV stuff? Are you doing emails? I mean, just what is kind of your guys' general strategy for even people knowing that you exist?
Right. So our strategy is to go after large corporate clients. And, you know, there it's really about the credibility and connections. Now, actually, as it turned out, 1-800-Flowers came to us not through connections, but they listened to a podcast that I was on. And they said, this rings a bell. We've tried three different chatbots. You know, we tried the best chatbot, the most well-known chatbots out there, and they just couldn't provide the kind of personalized service that we require. And they listened to my podcast and said, okay, they contacted us. So that was very successful. So we do spread word through podcasts, but otherwise it's really through working with partners who already have connections with these large customers. So we have quite a large partner network that we're working through to get to clients.
Does your tech company have the right marketing systems and strategies in place so you don't have to do it all yourself? Are you frustrated that you're not getting the ROI on your marketing budget that you know you should? Well, my agency, Infinity Marketing Group, can help. For the last 10 years, we've been helping companies just like yours make huge returns on their marketing budget. So for more information, go to our website, www.infinitymgroup.com, or you can email us at info@infinitymgroup.com, or if you prefer the phone, give us a call at 303-834-7344 to find out how we can help your tech company make more money. Now back to the show.
Where do you see this industry going? You know, normally I ask this question, I say, you know, the 5 to 10 years, but I feel like when it comes to AI, that's not even fathomable at this time because the exponential growth curve makes it probably impossible to ask a 5-year out plan as much as maybe just 1 year. It's like, where do you see in 1 to 2 years, let's say, the whole industry? Let's call it the chatbot specifically AI, you know, you plus your competitors. I mean, people are going to, it's an arms race, right? I mean, people are going to be trying to catch you up to you, right? But just, do you see anything changing when it comes to, let's say, legislation, right? There's a lot of AI controls now that they're going to start trying to put in. And I think rationally so. I hope they don't overregulate it, but it can't be unregulated given the implications of it. Do you see things like this going in a certain direction? Where do you see the future?
So at the moment, there's really the focus is totally on these big data systems, these large language models like ChatGPT. And they are, I think, significantly, they're amazing. They're really, the technology is amazing. You know, if you can just tell it to write you a poem or to, you know, come up with a political speech in the style of Shakespeare or a rapper, you know, or whatever. And it can do quite an amazing job of that, or write you some piece of code. The thing is, there always has to be a human in the loop, because they are quite unreliable. You know, they make up stuff. I mean, for example, I can ask it, tell me about this article that Peter Voss wrote about this. And I'll just make up something I never wrote. And it'll come back and tell me about the article that I supposedly wrote, complete with references, completely made up, you know. So there are significant problems with this approach, the statistical approach. It's basically, you have this massive amount of data, but it's completely uncurated and uncontrolled. And you have this fantastic, very plausible language generation system that makes things sound plausible. But if you try to deploy this in enterprise, in anything serious, like in front of a customer to, you know, handle a refund or to handle a sale or something like that, with all the business rules and, you know, that your legal department has to sign off, it's just not the right technology for that. And I think big companies are now rushing. Everybody wants to implement ChatGPT or, you know, competitor of that. And I think they're going to be very disappointed in what it can do. Now, it's fantastic for things like just FAQs, like internally in the company to find documents or stuff like that. As long as there's a human in the loop to say, this doesn't make sense, you know, or it's a bit like search. When you do a Google search, you look through it and say, this is what I'm looking for. So as far as that technology is concerned, I think companies are going to be quite disappointed in terms of what the limitations are in that. Now, on the other hand, it has proven that we already have enough hardware, that the hardware capabilities available today can do amazing things, you know, amazing language capabilities. But I think they need a different approach. The approach, and I've written extensively about that, it's what DARPA calls the third wave of AI. The large language models are in the second wave. The third wave is building a system that's inherently more like a mind, that's more, you know, that specifically can think about thinking and knows what it's talking about, basically. So that requires a different approach. That's the approach we're using. And I think that's very promising. And I think within a few years, we can have extremely powerful systems based on what's called a cognitive architecture, or the third wave of AI.
Yeah, you know, my company, we do lead generation and appointment setting for enterprise-level B2B tech companies, mm-hmm. right? And so I've thought about this AI side of it. You know, people say, well, is that going to take over those things? And like you said, my theory was that at least for now, are so many different angles that it has to understand. Because you're right, when you start getting into a sales process, if it's just informational based, that's different, right? FAQs, mm-hmm. things like that. But when you start getting into cognitive decision making and answers that can put a company at liability, right? Like if a sales chatbot said, oh yeah, we can absolutely do it for that discount.
Mm-hmm. All right.
You can't, then now right. you're on the record of saying you can, right?
So right.
There's implications in that process. So you're right. I think that's something that's going to be handled by humans for quite some time. But I do see that the AI can take a lot of the load off of it in other areas, right? Mm-hmm. When it comes to informational side. You know, one could even argue that maybe the first part of a lead generation, just that quick conversation back and forth where an AI doesn't really have to answer too many questions as much as understand mm-hmm. and learn how to take a question, address it, and promise that answer if they mm-hmm. book a call, right? So now I can train it to do that. I can train it to do that, but I can't let it sell for us, right? Things yeah. like that for our clients. So yeah, I found that interesting.
It depends, you know, how valuable your prospects are. And, you know, whether it's just like a percentage game that you're playing, that, you know, then you can say, all right, with automation, we can hit a lot more people. And, you know, if we have a 3% success, then that's great. You know, we can just hit sure. a lot more people. But if it's about retaining an existing customer or having something high value, you know, where you really just get one shot at talking to the customer, you know, through an introduction or something like that, you definitely don't want to do that. And, you know, something that I think it's a misunderstanding that people believe that these chatbots can actually learn as they go along. They do not. They do not learn. They're called actually, GPT. The G stands for generative, which basically means they make up stuff, based on the knowledge that they have. The P in there means pre-trained. So it's generative pre-trained transformer technology, and transformer stands simply for.
It's not going to keep, you have to keep feeding it information. Otherwise, it's not going to just start.
It's not going to get better. You have to then retrain the model. And that's a non-trivial undertaking, because the way you train it is you need to have very specific training data that you set up. And, you know, and there are all sorts of problems with that. One of them is that you can have what's called catastrophic forgetting. So you can train a model that knows certain things, then you want to train it additional things, and it catastrophically forgets you had before. But it's very unpredictable. So you don't know that it forgot that necessarily, unless, you know. So there are really huge problems. These systems do not just get better by being exposed to conversations.
Yeah, I was hearing a term the other day. I think it was knowledge drift or cognitive drift. It was one of those two, where essentially, because as of this date that we're filming, ChatGPT, its accuracy started falling off of a cliff. Right. And people thought that maybe it was OpenAI that was doing that on purpose. And then what they realized was that, no, this is actually something that can just happen, where as it keeps thinking through information and giving feedback, it changes the way that it finds and processes information to give feedback. So it can literally, like, the original version of how it was finding information and deciding that information is the most accurate, that actually evolved negatively, where through the process itself, because remember, this isn't OpenAI, open being the key word here. This is based on everyone doing what they're doing. So there became this massive drift of its process naturally, which then made a bunch of things less accurate. Now, it can go back the other way, but your system is a closed circuit, right? It's just for that company. So I don't know that would happen in a bad way with anything like what you're doing.
No,
but OpenAI, when you have everyone in on it, it's a really interesting phenomenon that they're seeing right now.
Yeah. And that's really, it's inherent in that approach. You know, as I say, that's what DARPA calls the second wave of AI, which are statistical big data systems. So they are statistical as opposed to cognitive. What you really want, you want a system that can think about, that can reason about what it's doing, that kind of knows what it's saying, rather than just, you know, statistically coming up with plausible sentences.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. I want to take a quick shift here. So I would love to know, because you've been doing this stuff for so long, you are a very veteran of the tech community. I want to know, what were you like as a kid when it comes to this stuff? Like, what did you dream of doing and being when you were a kid? And if this is it, that's fantastic. And if it's not, like, how did you get there, right? Like, some people are like, I want to be a firefighter, but like, now they own a SaaS company, right? So like, what did Peter Voss want to do when he was a kid? And then how does that transition to now?
Well, I was always interested in technical things. I had an electronics kit that an uncle gave me for a birthday. And so I built these electronic circuits. So that, you know, was just an interest early on. And I remember I must have been about 10 or 11 or something. I was thinking, surely we could organize all the world's information with sort of what I guess would now be a SKU code, you know. And so that kind of thinking, you know, came quite natural to me, that surely we should be able to sort of rationally arrange things and use rationality and reason. I mean, not explicitly. And then I was interested in philosophy. So I started reading philosophy books in terms of, you know, what is reality? How do we know anything? What is free will? You know, and what are the limits of knowledge and things like that? And ethics, how do we know what's right and wrong? So I've written quite a bit about these things. If anybody's interested, I have these on medium.com under my name. It's easy to find. So I think I've always had that curiosity. But then I actually had to start working at 16. I didn't actually finish high school. There were just problems in my family. And so I started working at a bank, at a hamburger place, at a motorcycle shop, you know, just whatever work I could get to feed myself. And then I got a job with a company that did electronics, which was really what I was interested in. I basically became an apprentice there and ended up being electronics engineer. And then I started my own company. So, you know, just my particular path of going there. I've always enjoyed learning by myself, so that's never been a problem for me.
You know, there's with AI, there is a lot of, I see it as kind of a minefield with a pot of gold at the other end, right? The payoff is big, but there's a lot of places where it can go wrong along the way. What is the best piece of advice you can give the audience for any company thinking about integrating AI into their systems or processes in any way? Is there, you know, something to maybe to for them, some advice for them to go and look at for what to do, and then maybe something for them to be cautious of and avoid? What kind of advice can you give when it comes to bringing AI into your company for people who are considering it?
Right. Well, I obviously have to say that if they're looking for conversational AI, they should talk to us. But yes. But leaving that aside, in terms of don't be caught up by the hype of it. You know, just use common sense. Stand back and say, okay, you know, so many of the big companies have FOMO, basically just, oh, we've got to do AI, you know. And then they just blindly do like anything, and they talk, you know, spend a lot of money with consultants who quite often really aren't giving good advice. You know, they don't have to pay the price if the system, you know, if the project doesn't end up working. So, you know, just, yeah, use common sense and ask hard questions. You know, where has this been implemented? Does it work? You know, how do we know that it's going to work? What is it going to do? But there's really this big fear of missing out right now, and companies being swept up by the hype. And then, of course, the tech people in the company want to play with this cutting edge technology, but they're not necessarily the right people to ask.
No, you know? I agree with that. Yeah. And I, especially, yeah, you can get some people who are a little too eager to play with the new toy.
Right. Shiny. Nobody's
looking at the safety instructions on the side of the box. You know what I mean? They're just going all in. So yeah, I mean, I have that idea that AI is going to do a lot of great. It's going to cause a lot of problems too, but just any disruptive technology is probably going to do both. Right. Mm-hmm. So it is going to be very interesting next year to see kind of where this goes, especially when it comes to like legislation, to see like what kind of regulations are they going to try to put on it, if there's any kind of safety measures. There's a lot of angles. It'll be interesting.
Yeah, but you know, the big companies just game the regulation to their own, you know, to their own benefit. That basically, yes, the software, you know, the big software has to be licensed, but really what they're doing is they're putting out their competitors. They're saying, well, of course our system is licensed because we're in charge of the licensing process, you know, directly or indirectly, but we might drag our feet about licensing our competitors' models, you know, because maybe they're not safe, you know. So
it's definitely a doggy dog world in the tech industry for sure.
Yeah. So I think just following on to what you just said, I think the one thing that companies should be aware of, the current technology, any application where you really need a human in the loop, you know, where you need this quality, you need to be sure you're doing the right thing. This technology is not ripe for that. Mm-hmm. Now, you know, so we were talking about FAQs and information systems, like if you have many employees, if you have hundreds of employees or thousands of employees, to have internal FAQs that can help people answer questions, you know, that are not critical if they're not going to make decisions, you know, on based on that, but just gathering information. I think they're extremely useful, you know, these natural language interfaces, but not anything critical in the company.
Yeah. Well, listen, this has been a fantastic interview. Where can people find you personally, and where would they find the company if they wanted to go check out the website, things like that?
Yeah, very easy. Igo.ai, and you can get hold of me simply, peter@igo.ai.
Perfect. And listen, for everyone out there listening, again, if you liked what you heard today, be sure to subscribe to this podcast, give it that 5-star rating, preferably with some writing behind it, so other techies like us can find and enjoy learning about all these amazing and helpful B2B softwares and technology on the market today. Peter, thank you so much for being a guest. We'll talk after the show. I got some more questions on my own.
Great. Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye.
Well, thank you so much for listening to another episode of The Future of BizTech. I hope you got great value out of our discussion today. If so, be sure to subscribe to my podcast and rate it 5 stars. This helps the podcast jump in the ratings to help other techies like you and I find it too. And remember, if you own or work for a B2B tech company and you're looking for highly targeted, hot leads delivered to your inbox daily, my agency, Infinity Marketing Group, can help. We've been in business since 2010 and have helped hundreds of companies just like yours make millions of dollars in marketing and lead gen ROI. So be sure to visit our website at www.infinitymgroup.com. That's infinitymgroup.com. Or you can email us at info@infinitymgroup.com. Or you can call us at 303-834-7344. We look forward to talking with you. And I look forward to you listening to my next episode of Future of BizTech.